Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. I hope that something I have to present to you this evening will be beneficial to you in some way. We're going to continue in the book of Psalms this evening. We'll be continuing in Psalm 18, so if you would, go ahead and grab a Bible and turn there. We will stay in Psalm 18 for most of the evening. It's a long one, so a good portion of it I won't have on the slides because it would take too many slides to fill up. The psalm, again, similarly to Psalm 17, which we talked about last time, it is a psalm of David, but this time, instead of a prayer, it is a song of praise and glory to God. It is titled, the description of the psalm is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And this same passage, Psalm 18, is basically referenced or repeated word for word in 2 Samuel 22. This has some similar notes to the last psalm because of the topics that David is presenting of his deliverance from his enemies, the glory to God for the protection that he has received. And it resembles many songs of victory that we see throughout the Old Testament, like in Exodus 15, where Moses and the people of Israel are rejoicing over their escape from Egypt, or in Judges chapter 5, where Deborah and Barak are singing of their victories. And a lot of the things that are mentioned in the psalm and the way that David presents the information is very similar to these other psalms. But we see it from his perspective and from the perspective of a man who spent his entire life or entire early life running for his life from the king of the land that he was supposed to be from. Now, I want to look a little bit further into 2 Samuel 22 because I believe this gives us a little bit more context to the psalm itself. 2 Samuel 22 is almost word for word Psalm 18. There's a little bit of variation to it, but that could just be from translation differences due to the way it was written in one passage over the other. But essentially, it is the same as Psalm 18. And it is thought that the psalm is a slightly more refined version that was maybe written at a later date, put to the page in a way that was different from the way that it was written in 2 Samuel 22. Although the heading describes it as coming after the death of Saul, this chapter, 2 Samuel 22, actually takes place much, much later than that. This takes place after the death of Absalom, after Absalom's rebellion. That entire series of events has happened. There has been a famine where David made peace with the Gibeonites, I believe. There has been additional wars against the Philistines and children of Gath, the land where Goliath was from, and David defeats more of the giants. And so it seems rather odd to describe this in the heading as a song after the death of Saul or the defeat of Saul. But I think that this may have been written, and it has been assumed that this may have been written much earlier than that. That maybe the psalm itself was penned long before that, maybe after David took the throne, after the defeat of Saul in the end of 1 Samuel and the start of 2 Samuel, where David takes the throne. And maybe that this is David coming back to what he has written before and remembering what he has already said about the Lord his God, and remembering all the things that God has done for him throughout his life. Because this is one of the last things that is recorded in order through 2 Samuel before David's death. The next chapter, 2 Samuel 23, records the final words of David and then his death. And that's the beginning of 2 Samuel 23. So, this may have been a way of remembering all the things that had gone on through his life, kind of a recollection and a remembrance of all these things as he's realizing that his time has come. Psalm 18 covers a variety of topics, and the first one of these is a triumph in God. A triumph in the Lord, a triumph in the strength of the Lord. And after the heading that is given, it is only fitting that the first few verses speak of the triumph David felt, and that theme continues through the rest of the psalm. So let's look at verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 18, it says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. It's always hard for me when I read the psalm, the verses in Psalms that we have songs for, not to try to sing the song as I'm reading the psalm. And I think that it's sometimes hard for us to take apart the words that we sing and remember what it actually is saying. There are several of those in this psalm, but David here is saying, God, I will praise you, I will adore you, I will love you because it is in your strength. It is your strength that I trust. You know, it was never David's strength. It was never, throughout the entirety of David's life, it was not his strength or his ability that he trusted. From the earliest descriptions that we see of David, he speaks to Saul when he goes to kill Goliath of how the Lord had delivered him from the hand of the bear and the hand of the lion. And he says, the Lord will defeat this Philistine. And that continues throughout his life. He spent his life trusting in the Lord, relying on him for the strength that he needed to get through everything that he faced. And he says, I will praise the Lord, and it is because of that praise, because of that dedication to him, that I will be saved from my enemies. And so then he continues on in verses 4 through 19 to speak of the deliverance that he has received from God throughout his life. Of the many things that he has endured, the many things that he has gone through, and the deliverance that God has given him through this. And he does it in a very figurative way. Let's read verses 4 through 19 of Psalm chapter 18. He says, the pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now, none of this looks like things that we see through the life of David. You don't see God coming with darkness and thunderings and coals of fire. But this was the strength of the Lord that David knew. This was the power of the Lord that he relied upon. This was how he saw the strength of his God. He calls out for the help of God. The first couple of verses here, he's saying that I have been through so many things. I feel like I'm completely surrounded. But I call it out to the Lord. And he says that God's wrath was unleashed on his enemies. You know, all of this is very figurative, but this is how David's life kind of ended up. God was with him. God defended him. God strengthened him. And God allowed him to get through a lot of things that lesser men have fallen to. And he was confident in that deliverance. He was confident that the Lord would save him and bring him out of it. And he attributes that deliverance to God's love for him. It's amazing to see or to consider the power of God. We're not going to turn over there and read it, but I would encourage you from time to time to look at the end of the book of Job. Because this reminds me a lot of that. God comes to Job and he says, "Where were you when all of this happened? Where were you when I placed the foundations of the earth? Who are you to question me?" And Job realizes that he is just a man and that God is all powerful beyond his comprehension. And the way that David describes the deliverance of the Lord correlates with that. It indicates the power and the might of a God who is willing to pay enough attention to us to save us and to love us and deliver us from our troubles. It took a mighty hand to go through a lot of the things that David did. The story that everyone knows with Goliath, it took a lot of strength for him to be able to stand against a man that was significantly larger and better trained and better equipped to fight than he was. But the Lord delivered him. And he continued to deliver him. You know, David is called a man after God's own heart. And I think that he was very confident in his relation with God in that aspect. That he was able to say, "He delivered me because he delighted in me." It was that trust in God, that faith in God that allowed him to escape Saul and many other trials. And from the header of the chapter, that's the point of this. That he has realized that he has made it away from his enemies, that he has overcome them, and that he has made it through because the Lord was on his side. And beyond that, he speaks of the rewards from God. The rewards that he received for his righteousness and his faith and trust in the Lord who saved him. In verses 20 through 28, it says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure, and with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He was rewarded for his righteousness. He was rewarded for his continued faith and trust in God. Again, he was a man after God's own heart. That was how God described him. And he talks about the reflection of an individual's behavior in the way that God handles them. He says, with the merciful, you are merciful. With the blameless, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. With the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. And the King James says, with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. If we wrestle with God, that's what that word is referring to. If we wrestle with God, he'll fight us back. We won't be able to fight him. But if we're wrestling with God, he's not going to just let us walk through and say, okay, you're fine. But with the merciful, those who show mercy, he will show mercy to them. With those who walk in his path, he will show them grace and give them that peace at the end of this world. He will light the path of the righteous. He'll give us that way to go. He has given us the way to go through his word. And David, looking forward and seeing and having that faith and hope in God, was hoping for that eternal home. And he was seeing that path that God had laid forth so that he could continue forward and so that others could continue forward beyond his time. In verses 29 through 45, there's a long list of attributes that he claims that God has given him, and it didn't quite show up correctly, but I've got them all here anyway. We'll go ahead and read verses 29 through 45. This is him praising God for all the things that he has been given, all the strength and the... And he describes them in depth of what he is speaking of. He says, for by you, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. As a man of war, David had seen a lot. David had gone to battle many times, and that's kind of his point here. He says, you've given me the strength to fight. You've given me victory over my enemies. And he goes into all these details in verses 29 through 36 of all these attributes that God had given him, and that it was only by God And if you look at each one of these, it is only by God that he says that he has this capability. Each one says, by you, I can run against my troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. God's way is perfect. It is God who arms me with strength. He goes through all these things. It is only through God that I am able to do these things. And it is the glory to God that he is making sure is given here. And he goes on to continue to speak of all the enemies that he had conquered and how he had driven them before him. But to me, the most interesting is where it comes to verses 43 through 45, where it says, you have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. David saw a lot of conflict in the political realms of his home. From being anointed as king before the fall of Saul, and having to run for his life because Saul saw him as a threat, to eventually coming into his kingdom and then only being accepted by a couple of the tribes, and having to win back the favor of the nation of Israel, to then being thrown from his position by his own son and having to run for his life, to eventually come back and once again reign. And I think this kind of points more to this psalm being written around the time that he took the position over from Saul. When Saul was defeated and killed and his sons were killed, that's when David took the throne. But it was only the tribes of Benjamin and Judah that accepted him at that time. And I think that kind of may indicate that the psalm was written at that earlier point, as we mentioned earlier. But he goes on to speak of all these things, but he doesn't stop there. He finishes out the chapter with an expectation of continued support from God. He says in verses 46 through 50, he says, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praise to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. David knows that the Lord is a living God and capable of great things, and that through his goodness and mercy, he's been protected. This is the factor that has allowed him to continue throughout his entire life, and has allowed him to continue through all the strife and the troubles. But through this, I can't help but see the indication that the way the Lord has protected him will be continued on through the ages to the coming of the Messiah, as we know that David knew that his throne would continue. And he, looking forward, he says, great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. And the Lord gave his descendants mercy. He allowed that throne to continue. And even when the throne of Israel was overthrown, he eventually sent his own son to sit on the throne of David, to come from the line of David and to establish his church, to allow us to be a part of the kingdom that he's been working on since the world began. And it is that deliverance that David knew and trusted, that strength of a God that cared about his people, that loves those who serve him, that gives them the strength to fight through this life, that we can depend on today. David was considered a man after God's own heart. And it was his confidence and his trust in the Lord that allowed him to be in that position. We've each been given a choice and a chance to serve the Lord in a way that is closer than David could know. In a part of the kingdom that David only hoped for. Do we take advantage of that? I hope and pray that we do. But this evening, if you're struggling in your walk with God, if you're a Christian already and you're struggling to keep up your service to God, know that there is a God that is waiting for you, who loves you and cares for you and wants to give you the strength to fight through the battles of this life. And part of the reason that we are here as a church together is to be able to give each other that help, to be able to get through this life as well, to support each other and to strengthen each other. And if you need the prayers of the church this evening, or if you need another spiritual help from the church this evening, we ask you to seek for that help. And if you haven't been baptized to become a part of the kingdom of God, there is no better time than the present to become a child of God, to accept the forgiveness and the peace that comes through that relationship and that forgiveness of our sins through Christ's blood on the cross. I ask you, if you have a spiritual need of the church this evening, to come forward, have a seat on one of these front pews as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.